Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. The World Show with Nikki B.
But right now, I'm on the line with Etienne de La Sayette. Are you with us, Etienne?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. Yes. Finally, you know, this COVID is really messing with all our things here. So I'm so happy to have you with us, Etienne. Welcome again to the World Show.
Yes, thanks a lot. My second time with you, Nikki.
Yes. Across the globe, we've got to do it virtually now. So, Etienne, you've released this beautiful album, which I've already been playing on the World Show, Kabugi, and that's really what I want to focus on today. But before we go there, I think we've got to, you know, just catch up with a little bit of your musical history. So you are best known for working with Akale Wube, and of course in Joburg particularly, we know and love Akale Wube. Tell us a little bit about that journey and your love for Ethiopian music.
Yes, well, actually it all started around 20 years ago, while I was listening to Ethiopic records, which were made from the work of a French producer called Francis Falsetto.
Yes.
In France, we were happy to be the first to rediscover the golden age of Ethiopian music. And so I've been listening to those records for many years. On one day, a friend of mine told me, I know a nice trumpeter and he wants to create a band to play this music. And I say, it's an obvious idea. It's fantastic. And just give me the phone call, the phone number of this guy, and we'll join together and make the band together, because I'm very into this idea.
Yes.
And so it's how the band started.
Yes. And you've subsequently toured the world with Akale Wube, and I think this last album, Mistakes on Purpose, was particularly significant because of your relationship with the legendary Germa Bayene.
Yes, it was a different album for us, because we did three before, only with the band, and that was the first album which were made with a very important composer and arranger and musician from this golden age.
Yes.
And it was a very, very warm experience, because we became very close with Guillaume.
Yes.
And, it's a long story, actually, because he went to US in the 70s and he completely stopped playing music during 25 years.
Yes.
And then he came back in Addis, and we met him, and we knew he wanted to play again, and we said we should try to do something together. And the story started like this, and we made a few concerts, and that was great. And so we made this album, and we are still touring with Guillaume, and it's a kind of grandfather for us also.
So yes.
We are very close, and it was a beautiful story, because we couldn't have done this without him, and I think he couldn't have done this without us. So it was we were in a beautiful experience all together.
And I remember you told me, and for those who might not know, Germa Bayene is one of the most important and legendary Ethiopian composers, singers, and so much more. And I remember, Etienne, that you mentioned to me that he said his work with Akale Wube gave him a second life, if you like.
Yes, yes, actually, because he's not that young, and he was retired. Let's say he was not doing anything in Addis. I mean, he was not playing music. He had no job. So he started the kind of second life as a musician. And also we traveled all over the world with him.
Yes.
And he never did that before. He was only playing in Ethiopia.
Okay.
Even if he was very famous in Ethiopia, he never went to play his music in any foreign country.
Yes.
Except in US, and then he stayed in US and he stopped playing. And so it was weird, because it was his first time playing in Brazil, in Poland, Portugal, everywhere.
Yes.
He was like a teenager, very excited, discovering things on playing in big festival, on sharing the backstage with Herbie Hancock, on such things.
Yes, amazing. Amazing.
Yes.
And I must say, Akale Warbird, you know, since I met you many years ago, it's just been amazing watching, the evolution of Akale Warbird, and, you know, the fact that you've now been working across the world. And I really want to appreciate the work that you do. And by the way, everyone, I'm so lucky because every time I go to Paris, I get a chance to see Akale Wube performing live. And I can't wait for the next album. The last performance I saw, there was a whole lot of new music. And I was like, when are you going to release the new Akale Wube, Etienne?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, we really prefer a live performance.
Yes.
I'm very proud of what we do on stage.
Yes.
Making a record, it's difficult to find the same feeling, the same energy, and it's something difficult to make a good record. So we have a lot of new songs.
Yes.
We are patient. We are waiting for the good way to put those tracks, new tracks on the record. And it will come. We are working on it.
Yes.
Also, we have another project which was to make a record with Manu Dibango.
Yes.
We had a full record with Manu, and it was supposed to come with, we spent 1 year preparing this record with Manu. And it was supposed to come in our studio in the last February, 2 days before he canceled because he was a little bit sick.
Yes.
And you know the sad story after that. So it was a very, very sad for all of us.
Yes, absolutely. I remember you telling me that as well. And I love the song that you did release with Manu Dibango a while back.
Yeah, we have arranged songs on new tracks with Manu, and now we don't know.
Yes.
If we will release them without Manu or what, we are lost.
Yes, and in fact, if I remember, you actually gave me that track you did with Manu when you were in Johannesburg when you came on the World Show. I have a memory of that now, but now. Yeah. Akale Wube is a big project. It's an ongoing project, and they do a monthly residency at L'Hermitage in Paris, beautiful venue. Yeah. But now Etienne, the man himself, has always worked on your own projects, Etienne. So that's what we are celebrating today. We're celebrating this latest release, Kobugi. And I want to hear more about this release as well as some of your other global projects that you do as Etienne de la Sayette. But my feeling is let's play the opening track of Kobugi. And then when we come back on the other side, we'll talk more about the projects. I'm Nikki B, talking to Etienne de la Sayette, a core member of Akale Wube, but also an independent artist who truly does explore sounds of the world in his independent projects, independent of Akale Wube. Absolutely great sounds, and we're celebrating the latest today on the World Show. But for now, let's hear the opening track, and then we'll hear more from Etienne on Kaya FM 95.9.
The World Show with Nikki B.
Kaya FM 95.9. Jajin Mori, how cool is that track? It's off Etienne de la Sayette's latest album, Kobugi. So, Etienne, I am loving the sounds of Kobugi. Are you with us? Yes. I just wanted to check that, you know, listening to some of your independent projects, you really have been exploring sounds of the world. Maybe before, as we move into talking about Kabuki, you can touch on the previous albums that you've released, the album where you're inspired by Korean sounds, as well as Maputo Queens. Because for me, this is almost all of that coming together.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so actually, I had a band dedicated to Korean music called Beshibang. And we do covers from a very famous Korean singer from the 60s.
Yes.
And we do our own way. It's like you jazzmen play standards with all songs. We did with the same process. We did tracks with those old Korean songs.
Yes.
And also, I did a solo album, as you said, called Maputo Queens, in which I was blending different sounds from the musics I like and the countries I traveled.
Yes.
So, yeah, with influences mostly from Asia and Africa, of course.
Yes. And it's interesting for me because while each of your albums is quite distinctly different, there's a certain understanding of the instrumentations, which I see there's almost like a commonality that you find, whether it's in Asia like Korea or in Maputo, there's something that's, it's almost like you remind me that the world is one world.
So I'm glad you think like this.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, after when I do especially solo albums,
yes,
I don't use any concept. It's very... I do it like this, I don't think.
Yes, it's just what you relate to, I suppose. But now let's move to Kabuki. What are the influences behind this album?
A lot of people talk me about those music from Africa or Asia, but also the question is not only to blend those musics, but also there is a basis of jazz and groove in which I grew as a musician.
Yes.
I started learning jazz and I've always loved groovy music and funky stuff and soul. Some of the tracks are also based on groovy things and I don't care after if I had an African instrument or an Asian melody.
Yes.
I don't think much about that, but I would say that there are, of course, influences from different parts of Africa, Ethiopia and parts in West Africa.
Yes.
And Korean music also. For this album, I used Korean music, especially for rhythms.
Yes.
I had the chance to score music for a show in Korea 3 years ago. And I've been working with traditional percussions.
Okay.
And percussionists.
Yes.
And I've been learning some Korean rhythms, and I used some of those rhythms in my composition, even if it doesn't sound Korean at all at the end.
Oh, amazing. But now you've actually, I understand it now. You know, having heard the album, having played it, I understand that thread that I knew from your previous work as well. And I forgot to ask you, but who's doing the rap on that one that I just played, Judging Mori?
Yes. So it's a good friend of mine called Reska. He's a MC from Chicago, but he lives in Paris now since a few years.
Yes.
And he's the coolest guy, very nice guy. And he is a musician. He's not only a hip-hop artist.
Yes.
He is a real musician. And I was sorry. I said, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't understand anything in your lyrics. And he said, that's not a problem, really. That's not a problem. You have to listen to the lyrics just as music. And that's exactly how I did.
Yeah, no.
And he is a good friend. And I used to say I did this album all alone, but actually I had a few important guests.
Yes.
Retia did two tracks, and Eric Aliana, who is a Cameroonian singer, which is also a good friend, who did one track.
Yes.
Stefano Lucini, which is a good friend also, who plays drums, and Lancine Diabaté, who plays balafon.
Yes.
But it was a family affair, because those four guys are very close friends, and they just came in the studio and to record a few things, and it was amazing.
But that's what gives it that global feel as well. Now, what does Kubugi mean, by the way?
So it means turtle.
It means the turtle, that's right. And why did you choose the name Kubugi?
I was looking for... It's just all about music. I like the sound.
Yes.
Kubugi.
Yes.
I like the sound. After came the meaning. I liked the turtle. I was happy to use Korean language.
Yes.
Because I'm very close to Korean culture.
Yes.
And so we also use the turtle for the artwork.
Beautiful artwork, yes.
Yes. And so, that was at the beginning. I thought about calling the album Kubugi Kings, because the first one was Maputo Queens.
Yes.
So it was a kind of Kubugi was okay, and it's mysterious.
Yes.
Nobody knows what it's where this language comes from. So
yes, but as you say, I love the sound of the word Kubugi, and I love the artwork. By the way, I've posted it on Facebook, on my Facebook pages, on Instagram, so you can check out the beautiful artwork. And I think we must pay tribute to your designer, Etienne, because really all three of these album covers of your own projects are absolutely beautiful. Let's hear another track. This one is Lulu, and it's kind of, I've been playing this one on the World Show. It's got kind of a groove. Where did Lulu come from? Tell us a little bit about this track.
For Lulu, the idea was to make an Afrobeat style track, but alone, strictly alone.
Yes.
And so it was a kind of a chamber music, Afrobeat.
Yes.
And the basis of the track is a small drum box from the 60s, which has a very dusty and old school sound.
Yes.
Because I don't play drums, and so I started to record this old dusty drum box, and then I made the track on this first recording of the drum box. Yeah.
Fantastic. And again, you're making sense to me, because it's got that old school warmth in the way that you've produced the song. It's got that old school Afrobeat warmth. So now it makes sense that you say you're using this piece of archival equipment, if I can call it.
Yes.
Yes.
So I would like to add that in the whole album, the idea was never to use any MIDI, any virtual instrument.
Yes.
But even if I use the computer, of course, for recording, sometimes I use also reel-to-reel tapes, and I played all the instruments by myself and as a live performance.
Fantastic.
There is nothing...
Yes.
It's all how to say... All organic music.
Absolutely, it is. All organic, electrofused music. Etienne de la Sayette, I'm going to share with you another track of his beautiful release, Kubugi. And then we're going to catch up with Etienne once more on today's World Show.
The World Show with Nikki B.
Kaya FM 95.9. That is the radio edit of Lulu, but of course when I played it for you before on the World Show, I had to play the full along edit because you know the World Show is a place to do that. So I'll do that again next week. Absolutely love that old school feel on Lulu off Etienne de la Sayette's album, Kabugi. Very beautiful. And you know, again, Etienne, listening to that and hearing what you were saying, it completely makes sense, that old school Afrobeat sound. Very, very beautiful, but with a modern edge, as you always add. Yes. So, Etienne, are you there with us? Okay,
yeah.
Good. Yes. I have to check every now and again. Yes. Kabugi. Now, you speak about this album and you say albums like this one, and I think Maputo Queens as well, are not albums where you intended to perform live with them. They really are studio releases. Is that what you still believe, or do you ever see a time where you'll be performing these live?
Not yet. Maybe this time will come, but right now the purpose was only to have fun in my studio, and I don't want to play those songs live.
Yes.
But I've been proposed, because many people say, but the tracks could be amazing played by a live band. So
yes,
I'm a bit lazy, you know. I have several bands, and I love to create bands, but after to manage a band during years, it's a lot of time and energy. So
yes.
Actually, I have a name for this band. It might be Maputo Kings.
Yes, I think so.
I've got the lineup in my head.
Yes.
But not yet. I don't know. Maybe... I don't know.
Well, maybe you know, you spoke earlier about Akale Wube and how much you're enjoying performing live. And again, you know, what struck me then is to release some of those songs live, even if the next album is live. I'm not sure if that's what you intended. But at the same time, for me, it would be very exciting to see a project like this live, because I imagine that it would bring together an electronic element together with a live instrumentation.
Yeah, yes, it could be, of course.
Yes. And then just a hint, Etienne, you know, then you don't have to have the whole big full band like you do with Akale Wube. It can be a smaller project. Yes.
No, it can't.
Yes.
No, I'd like to have a full band with percussions, drums, race car on the mic.
Yes.
And me playing a lot of instruments.
Yes.
It would be nice, but that's why I'm a bit reluctant. I'm a bit lazy right now to create this.
Yes, but still, you've done a wonderful project here with Kabugi. What's the best way for people to be able to access it? On what platforms is it available?
For me, it's Bandcamp.
Yeah. Yes, Bandcamp. And you seem to release most of your music is available on Bandcamp.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And it was the way to do it. And we, with a few friends, we even created a small label called Mojo Records.
Yes.
And that was one of the release of this young, very small label. And maybe it will get bigger.
Yes.
And that was nice to do this independently.
Absolutely. I'm really loving this album, Kabugi. And, you know, for me, it is a beautiful fusion of electro and acoustic, and just great musicianship as well. Where to from here? Or where to from here? With Kabugi now out, are you focusing mainly on pushing this album, or have you already started conceiving of your next project?
So I am not into a new solo album yet.
Yes.
Actually, now I have my, since a few years, I have my own home studio, so I can produce music easily for I can sometimes I do scores for shows or for cinema.
Yes.
And right now I'm working on a collaboration with a traditional Korean singers that might play with my band Beshi Bang for a second album, which were completely different from the first. It was they might song sing traditional Korean songs, and we might create a completely different background for those
Yes.
songs. So right now I'm focused on creating music for this project. And maybe I will, on sometimes when I have time, I do a few tracks. And
Yes.
maybe when I have a 10 or 12 nice tracks, it will make a new album. But
Yes.
it comes like this only.
Fantastic. Thank you, Etienne, for joining us. And we're going to end with a last track off Kobugi, which is Safari Kema. Tell us about this track.
So, like the first track we listened, actually, it's created also on a Korean rhythm,
Yes.
6/8 rhythm. I invited on this song a good friend of mine, which is Eric Aliana, which is a singer from Cameroon,
Yes.
and we played a lot. We play often together with Akalé Wubé and with his band.
Yes.
And that was amazing because he came and he invented different characters in the song with different voices. He did this in a half an hour in my studio. All was very easy and funny to do. And so like the first track, it's not like a regular song, but it's a kind of story. It started from A, and then it goes to B, and then it finishes to Z, and which is totally different from the beginning. And
Yeah.
I like this kind of forms.
Yes, but
It's not like
I also appreciate that because your work, and I think even in all your work, you have like a core base from which you go everywhere. And that's beautiful for me, is that diversity. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Nikki.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us, Etienne. I'm going to end the feature with Safari Kema, featuring Eric Aliana off Etienne de la Sayette's Kobugi. And then I have to, just because I'm in the mood, play another track off Akale Wube's Mistakes on Purpose. But before I let you go, I have to ask you, how is the situation in France, in South Africa? We are really at the peak of our coronavirus, crisis. So how are things in France?
So we are a bit more lucky than you. The situation is nearly normal.
Good.
So the lockdown is finished since around 1 month now.
Yes.
And, people started to live like before. But of course, there are a lot of problems in the economy. For musicians like me, I don't have still any concerts. And a lot of people don't work, and it's still very messy. But we are lucky enough to we can travel, we can see friends, and it's like almost like before.
Well,
And everybody is a bit afraid about the second wave. So
yes.
let's see what will happen. And many countries like you, and also Brazil and US, it's horrible. So.
Yes. Well, I must say, speaking to, you from a country that's on the other side of the peak, it helps to give us hope here in South Africa. Yes.
Yes, please keep hope. On 2 years ago, 2 months ago, I thought it will never end. I thought I will not have a concert for 2 years, and it will last for 1 year, and finally it disappeared
Yes.
almost quickly.
Yes.
So yes, please keep hope.
Thank you so much, Etienne. Etienne de la Sayette, thank you for joining us once again on The World Show.
You're welcome. Thanks, Nikki.
Sure. We are finishing this feature with another track from Kobugi, Safari Kema, coming up right now.
ayala kamuru na mbine isa umuta katonga
mango chuba
gumuta maturungwe kwengu gumuta muta muturumbe.
The World Show with Nikki B, every Sunday from 6 to 10 p.m. Kaya FM 95.9.
Rewinding
Kaya FM on FM Rewind.
Visit kayafm.co.za for more.